It's always a, I think it's always a gift when you get these little things that you need to do extra so you can see what happens if the, this works most of the time. But sometimes you need to add on the second part, which is I always do now, which is rehearse the solution with the new knowledge 8 to 12 times. Then future pace. Of course, rehearsing it 8 to 12 times is the future pace. But you can, what I'm really thinking here, future pace in the sense of test it. So if you had to, you're going to be riding home tonight, what's it going to be like?
Slow, he said.
Slow. It's going to take forever, but you'll get home. That's the good part. Okay. So you've seen the demo. I went over it really thoroughly. So again, make sure you connect a little bit with your person that you're working with. I, like everything else, this is going to work better if you're standing rather than sitting. When you sit down, you're eliminating all kinds of neurology. If you're standing up, you can be alongside. You can notice how important it is to the whole idea of psychogeography that Susie and I found out about. So if you're staring forward, then I can put it out there. If I'm sitting across from somebody, they have to be looking at me. So see your phobic event right on. You can watch it unroll on my forehead, you know. I don't want to get associated with that. So if you're standing alongside, you've got so much more possibility. If I needed to, I could have anchored disassociation. I could have anchored other states. I didn't do any of those things I could have added in because I don't want to make it too complicated. Those are, you've got all those options. So get rapport. The two reframes, do y'all remember what they are? It's a one-time learning. Your brain learns and doesn't forget. You can learn fast. The second one is there's a part trying to protect you. Learn fast, protection. It's not a bad part that's trying to scare the pants off you. It's the part of you that's looking out for you. So then you say, tell me about a run of it, elicit a bit of the response. Create the three-place disassociation. And you've got all these tools to make it more disassociated if you need to. Be sure and create the trauma sandwich. See the still picture of you up on the screen just before it occurred. Then have come back up in the projection booth. Then watch you, watching you, go through it to the end. Find out where the end is. Step into the end and go... Because it was a demo, I took a long time with it, but often you can do these in 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes. So they don't need to take, and they can go really fast sometimes with certain things. Then once you've done that, then usually that'll take care of most of it. Then find a solution. What do you know now? What would you do differently now if you had that possibility? And sometimes you get things that seem out of control. I had a guy that just had a new job. He had a situation kind of like yours, but he had to drive through the mountains, this was in Utah, to get to another town where he had a bunch of clients. And there's a Kirby Mountain Road that was very steep and up and down. And he was going up a hill, and somebody was passing, coming up the other way in the wrong lane, and came at him, and he had to pull. He almost got hit. And so he said it was totally out of my control. But when he thought about it, number one, if he had been even aware that that was a possibility, it would have made a huge difference. Two, when going up a couple of these curvy, high roads where you can't see what's on the other side, if he'd stayed more, a little more to the right, he would have been a lot easier for him. If he'd slowed down, he would have been better off because he was going up, he was speeding a little bit when he did it. So there's all these things that would have made it a lot safer had he done them. So usually you can figure out what those things are. Often when you get into trauma, like a physical trauma, you're in conflict about something. And you're in that start-stop kind of place, so that can happen. Where I learned about this in the first place is, I'll fill you in once you've done it. I think you need to get doing it. So, this one makes sense? First, watch yourself go through the solution so you've got it in your mind, and then rehearse it 8 to 12 times. Make sure you break state in between each time. Like come back to the here and now and then do it, and come back to the here and now and then do it. It only takes a very short period of time. Sometimes you tell people, yeah, need to do that 8 to 12 times. They go, that sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. Really isn't. Well, you just watch it to see what it would look like. And then once you've seen it, then it's easy to jump in it and do it. Okie doke. So look around the room for somebody with... By the way, if you don't have a phobia, you could find a time you got bad news in a way that was stressful. Or find find an example of somewhere that's unpleasant where you have a really strong feeling, some event. Wouldn't have to be a phobia. It could also be something where you get suddenly angry and don't want to, or something triggers you in a way you don't want. Okay, everybody have something in mind or got an idea of what you might work with? By the way, if you couldn't think of anything at all, role play it. Just so you have it in experience. There are all kinds of things you can do, by the way, with physical trauma. This friend of Chris's, actually when we lived in Boulder Creek, gave us this really ugly kind of bird feeder thing that hung in a tree. It was like cement. It was heavy. So they hung it in a tree. And one day it was kind of windy and there was some papers blew underneath this tree. And I went under the tree and picked it up. And I stood up really fast and went boing. And it really hurt. It was by Chris's office. She's looking out through the window and she says, "Run it backwards." So I always just, I ran it backwards and then I just rehearsed instead of bonking my head, just stepping up, just missing it and thinking, oh, I could have hit my head, be careful. You know, and actually what would have been even better if I had said, oh, there's the cement thing, I need to be careful, and then picked it up and then moved out carefully. So then I'm rehearsing the solution and my brain's got a new idea of what to do, and it'll, this is the part that often makes the huge difference with that. So you can do it on a physical trauma, like the guy who got burned, is what I did.
What's the, I didn't catch the reframe step. Did you do that with that?
Yeah, it's verbal reframes. So it's not like you've got a horrible fear and you're a weak, stupid coward because you're afraid to do that. It's that there's a part of you trying to protect you. But often that's what people say. Or I've done this, one time I did this with a guy and he said, he got really upset with himself and he said, you know, I must be a total idiot to have that fear. I've had it my whole life and now it's gone, it's been 5 minutes, you know, what, there's something worse wrong with me than I thought. So he started to get depressed over it. So you want to say, this is a part of you trying to protect you, it's a good thing. So I think it's a mistake in learning, but it's a really good thing, it's an overgeneralization. If you didn't have parts to protect you, you wouldn't be surviving now, right? So think, you could even have that person thank that part. The second reframe is that you learn fast. It's not that something's wrong with you, it's a learning. It's a one-time, usually one-time learning very quick. It's an indication your brain can learn fast, and as a result you can change it fast. Those are the two verbal reframes. Yes?
So it could be a specific phobia that you have because of a previous incident or trauma. And it also could be a trauma, physical trauma, that does not create a phobia now?
Well, traumas are like a phobia. For example, a physical trauma. I'll tell you one more story just so you have an idea.
Which accident that you had doesn't mean that you have a phobia.
No, but it means if there's injury still apparent and it isn't healing or hasn't healed, then that's a trauma. Okay. It's the same structure in my mind as a phobia.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was training in Denmark. I was doing advanced training. I had just. I'll give you a little 5-minute story. In 1994, we modeled this guy who was a shaman. We brought him in from Peru. He was a healer, and we wanted to find out what he did, but we didn't want to do it in a hotel room. So we did it, and I think Susie might have told you part of the story. Yes, on setting intent? So we decided to do it up in a beautiful wilderness area. So we were going to set up tents and have a cook there, and people would have a camping experience as well as have this experience modeling the shaman. And so when we found this wonderful place to do the work with the shaman. It was about 30 miles up of, you know, these little back roads in the San Rafael Swell, which is an amazingly beautiful desert with pinyon pine trees and all kinds of stuff. So we had to set up markers along the road because it would fork off occasionally so people would know where to go to get there. So we went to the site where we're going to be camping, then drove back to where you get on I-70 on the freeway. So whenever there's a marker, we'd stick a stake in the ground and put a sign up. We called it the NLP Family Reunion so we wouldn't get curiosity seekers because nobody would want to come to a family reunion. But we put that all the way down till we got to the freeway. And the very last place was where the freeway was. It was called a ranch exit. You've probably seen those. And I was writing on this piece of paper with one of these magic markers. you know, NLP family reunion. And there's a cattle grate down there, and I stepped over it, and there was one part that was bent open, and my foot went, and I fell down into it with my right foot. And I hit my knee, and it just cut it pretty badly. And it knocked me out for a second. I really twisted my hip. And with me in the car, where it's a good friend of mine who's a psychiatrist and physician and the shaman, and a guy named Tom Best, who's another NLP trainer, who was working with me on the modeling. And I fell in, and about knocked me out. And I got out, and Tom Best suggested something that he had learned from a kahuna if you cut yourself with a knife. I can't remember what he called the incident, but what he did is he said, rehearse it 8 to 12 times, but not getting hurt cutting it. Does that make sense? So you rehearse it 8 to 12 times, that kind of gives your brain saying, I didn't do that, I did this. And I did that, imagine falling, so I was writing, imagine falling, imagine not falling in, but catching myself. So I did that a couple of times, and it's hurt worse. And my body said, that's not going to work for you. And I thought, boy, I'm going to be in pain. I'm on this rough ground. We've got all these people coming up here. I'm not going to be able to hike up and down these rocks. What's going to happen? My psychiatrist friend looked at my hip, and he said, oh, man, you're in trouble. You know, you're not going to be able to walk hardly at all for the next 3 days. And so I suddenly thought of the fast phobia process. So I ran it backwards. And I did that about 4 or 5 times. And about half the pain disappeared. I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. Then I did, it was called the toe stubbing technique. That's what he called it. Remember, have you ever walked around your house barefooted and you stub your toe and it hurts like sin? But other times you walked around your house and you've bumped your toe on something, but you kind of glanced off and it didn't hurt. You've all had that? So then he'd have you, Serge King is the guy that developed that, and he said he'd have you rehearse that 8 to 12 times, glancing off instead of really stubbing your toe, or barely cutting yourself instead of getting a big cut. So I did that, walking along, imagine I fell in the thing, caught myself, did that 8 to 12 times, and by then, 98% of the pain was gone, I didn't have any problem. And later, Susie had arrived, because she'd been at the airport, we were picking up people from out of the country, and she came up, and I told her about this, I said, yeah, I found this thing, I'm really hurt, and she looked at it and said, you don't look hurt to me, and I went, well, I had a big, huge bump on my knee, and it was gone. It was like, so I thought, wow, we're on to something. So I started doing this all the time with people, and about 4 months later, I was in Denmark. There's a woman named Anna Marie, and we'd done a first session of an ongoing program. The second one, she wasn't there. And her friends came up and said, would you work with Anna Marie? Because she's in such pain, she can't walk. I said, what happened? And they brought her in on a kind of a gurney thing. And we worked with her, and what had happened, she parked her car. She walks up an incline into a big supermarket. And she's in the supermarket, buys her stuff. She has 2 plastic bags. You know how they are with the handles, regular supermarket bags. She walks out and looks, and there's glare ice. And in Denmark, a real common thing is freezing rain. So it rains, the ground's colder than the air. Then it freezes, so it's like slippery. She said, I watched somebody fall down. And she said, but then I went anyway, even though I knew I'd fall too. So she started walking down, and she went, and she went up so fast that she landed on her neck and her tailbone at the same time. And she was in such pain she could barely walk. And so and this is in total response to what you're asking about the trauma, I said, so what, as she told me, I said, so what, how did you do that? Tell me again. And she said, well, I walked out and she kept doing this. So what's that telling you? She's still replaying it in her mind. So every time she thought about it, which was often, she'd fire off all the same neurons and stuff that was related to the accident. She kept re-injuring herself. So I realized at that moment that traumas can get stuck because they don't have an exit forever, just like a phobia. And after that, I've done this with hundreds of people, and it makes a huge, huge difference with the physical trauma too. So if you bumped your head or stubbed your toe or were in an accident somehow, you can do it with this. Yes?
And it's totally out of your control, like somebody was drunk driving and like something into you or something. What solution, like if it's something that's couldn't control?
Well,
like, what about the solution? Like, I wouldn't be able to find one.
Well, it's like the guy that was driving up the hill and the car was coming at him, and it took him a while to figure out the solution. You know, but he realized if he had slowed down, he'd been more to the right. Because he'd driven that 100 times with no problem. And when the car came up, you know, in his lane really fast over the curve, he thought he was dead, basically. And luckily pulled off and spun out off the side of the road. But if he had driven it slightly differently, his chances would have been a lot better. The people generally can find some reason, something that was there that shouldn't have been there. Often when people are in physical traumas, like 99% of the time, even if it seems out of their control, what I find is there's some kind of conflict going on with them. Okay, only questions now on how to do it, because I've had you sitting way too long today. If it's a question about how to do it, ask it. Y'all pretty well ready to go on it? Let me have you do it. If you have any special questions, just come see me. Let's go ahead and do it.